The next thing to discuss are data mechanics, and these are game mechanics that require and build on top of the data streams. In traditional digital games, there were feedback mechanics, and when computer games came out, feedback was the novelty. The game mechanics revolved around user input and feedback. With game utilities, and this user input and feedback was really based with the game system itself, which was mainly usually fantasy-based. But with game utilities, there are a new class of game mechanics, and these are data mechanics. And the data mechanics take the data streams and make the game and experience much more fun for players. For example, taking a photo data stream for multiple players and then presenting it to all the players in the game to rate and comment can be very fun and raise engagement in the game. Or even an interactive sequence where players build their own scrapbook or something else like that. But like the feedback mechanics found in early computer games and the social mechanics found in online games, data mechanics can offer a whole new class of fun that drives engagement within the game. These data mechanics complement the traditional feedback mechanics of games, as well as the social mechanics found from online and social games, combining the different dimensions of mechanics from traditional feedback mechanics, social mechanics, and data mechanics can help to create new classes of games and experiences, etc. A solid understanding of all design spaces is critical to create compelling game utilities or user-generated or data-generated games. Now let's discuss some of the data mechanics. There is the browsing mechanic, and the mechanic takes in data streams from players in the game, or photos, etc., whatever in-game content, and then presents them in a way for other players to view in the game. The game could display the data in fun and appealing ways. This could be combined with the rating mechanic to give players a reason to browse data, game or game utility generated content. So, a simple example from other contexts would be literally where you can browse a ton of photos. But in this case, for the game utility, these photos may be related to the actual game utility's purpose. But browsing is a very addictive mechanic, and it's definitely something to consider, provided you have the right content to browse. There's the rating mechanic, and this involves allowing players to rate or review the data created by other players in the game. So this would build on top of maybe the expressional data streams that are put in or injected into the game, or other types of data streams like data generated from internet of things or something else that folks could rate. And the rating doesn't have to be 1 to 5 stars. It can be implicit things like swiping. And we've seen that with Tinder and other things. There is the voting mechanic. And this involves allowing players to vote a piece of content to bring it up or down in the game system. The more votes a piece of data or content gets, the more valuable it could become. The number of votes as well as the velocity of votes could be considered. And this is where we see things like the Dig and Reddit system kind of being built on top of this. So once again, you have the data stream of maybe news, right? And then you have the voting mechanic on top of those data streams, which then make that whole system fun and engaging for a lot of people to interact with. There is the comment mechanic, and this involves allowing players to add a comment or express themselves related to other data in the game. So this could be literally giving feedback or suggestions related to data or photos or videos or something else created or in-game content created by other players in the game. There's the tagging mechanic, and this involves allowing players to create secondary data streams based on the primary data streams in the game. So, for example, this could involve tagging keywords based on photos a player views or photos added by other players in the game. This could involve putting photos and videos into categories, and these photos and videos are generated from maybe in-game quests or in-game sequences or whatever else. And then there's categories made by the game or categorical or categories personal to each player. And so this is where players could literally personalize the data content or what they want inside the game by viewing data and then rating it or reviewing it or tagging it in certain ways. There's the adaptive gameplay mechanic, And yeah, this mechanic involves taking in the player's data and moves in the game and then modifying the gameplay for them based on the data. This could be based on the metadata stream of all the data that the user is actually generating inside the game utility. There is the quest data mechanic, and this involves taking the traditional concept of game quests and modifying them so they act on specific pieces of data created within the game. So, for example, a player might have a quest where they need to view a photo made by another player and rate it. A player may need to take photos of specific things, people, events, or context to add to the game data streams. Then there's the photo data enhancer mechanic, and this is where people add data into a photo so that there's new content or data for others to enjoy. So, for example, someone is doing a photo quest where they have to take a bodybuilding shot each day to compare progress. In addition to the photo, they may have to fill out a number of calories they ate for the day or their weight. And the system then pieces together the photos and overlays the weight number on the photo to make it more interesting or compelling inside the game utility. Photos serve as the basis for capturing and communicating other photo or other types of player social and contextual data. So another photo data enhancer could literally be doodling on top of photos or editing or adding stickers on top of photos, stickers maybe that are customized to your specific game utility, et cetera, et cetera. There's the data marketplace mechanic, and this involves applying a marketplace economy to the data created by players in the system. There could be a cost to the data such as like, for example, if all the players have to add photos inside the game, the photos could have like an in-game economy so as players maybe trade the photos in the game, the value of the photo could go up. So if you have an in-game virtual economy or currency to use to buy the photos in the game, as people buy the photos, the value of the photos go up, and maybe there's like a profit system. So if one player buys a photo, like, so there's a reason to buy a photo. So let's say we take the tycoon idea, right, and we blend it with photos. So there's like a photo tycoon, and people are trying to buy the most photos that they feel are going to be the most valuable. So they buy low, you know, they buy them when they first came out, and then as other people buy the photos from them, it raises the value of the photo, and then the initial person that bought it may even make some profit. So it's applying a marketplace economy to the data, and I just provided an example for photos, but it can be applied to other types of data, and even data specific to the game utility itself. The other benefit of this economy is that it can help to identify the valuable content in the game. With data-generated games, there will be a lot of data-generated content, user-generated content, etc. Not all of it will be valuable to other players in the system. A virtual economy overlaid on the user-generated or data-generated content will make it easier to find the valuable content for each person and the overall community. The highest valued data-generated content could be used to fuel other gameplay systems in the game utility. There's the data progression mechanic, and this is where these are things you can do to data within the game, and it changes throughout the life cycle of the data. And so this could relate to custom in-game content that's content native to the game utility. And you can have it where, you know, as the content matures or evolves, there's certain interactions that you can do at the initial stage of the content. There's certain interactions that you can do at the later stage of the content. I will leave it up to the game utility designers to figure out exactly what would work best. There's the learning exploration mechanic, and this involves mechanics that allow players to explore or learn about topics and interests relevant to them within the game. The browsing mechanics are a subset of this mechanic, but there are other ways to encourage learning and exploration, including the quest data mechanic, you know, where people perform quests to do certain things or gain certain experiences. One way to allow people to play with the data or gain RPG points by finding hidden items, this is one example, but it would be by finding hidden items inside photos that the game utility itself places in there. It may not even directly relate to the purpose of the utility, but it could be a fun way to engage with the game. There is the data notification mechanic. And this is a mechanic to prompt the player to input more data into the system. This may include having a notification to remind players to take a photo of themselves at a certain time or at a certain day to add to their game. It may also involve having players take a GPS snapshot that could help coordinate or keep track of their location throughout the day. So it's basically a prompt that would inspire people to add their own data or interact with the game utility type data to do more things or to even add more data to the game utility system. There is the tracing and copying mechanic, and this is a mechanic to prompt the player to input their version of the data into the game. So this could involve tracing a drawing, maybe added by another player inside the game, or it could involve providing a similar photo based on an original photo or theme or style made by another player. There's the anthropomorphic mechanic, and this is using common day metaphors to tie into the data. The data itself could be pets or jewels. And then the metaphor ties into the actions and activities a player could do with the data. So for example, this could be used in a dating game utility where a player buys other players for their fun cage and they are considered pets once they are purchased. And then the player must quote unquote take care of their pets. They have to feed them, take care of them. So the data, which is in this case maybe a photo of another person or the other person themselves, can then be used and tied, made into a pet using the pet metaphor to build it and to develop it, so that it's a more interesting way to interact with the data. And that metaphor is something, I don't know, there's something built into people's minds where they can relate to these metaphors more easily. So then it allows them to interact with the data in a more personal, fun, and interesting way. So I think that covers a lot of the data mechanics. And once again, these are mechanics that allow you to interact with the data in fun, playful, and interesting ways. I'm sure there are a ton of other data mechanics you can consider. These were just examples to give you a conceptual idea of what you would do to design new types of mechanics related to data. So that's it. So now the next section will be about fun generators. And fun generators pretty much combine the data mechanics along with mechanics in other design dimensions like social and feedback to create fun generators that are just continuous streams of, that allow people to have continuous streams of fun. So yes, stay tuned.